As we journey through the Bible, this week our journey brings us to the 13th chapter of the book of Romans. And we encourage you to read it over. Stay with us, stick with us as we go through the Bible. Tonight, we'll be studying the 13th chapter of Romans. This morning, we'd like to look at verses 11 through the end of the chapter. Here Paul writes, "And that knowing the time, it is now high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof." Paul said, knowing the time. I believe that it is the Lord's intention that we as Christians not be asleep as far as the day and the times in which we live. I think that he wants us to be very aware of the signs that are in the earth that would speak of his coming. You see, before the first coming of Jesus Christ, there were many signs that the prophets had given concerning the coming of the Messiah. In fact, there were over 300 signs concerning the first coming. There's probably as many signs concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ. But when he did come the first time, we read that the Pharisees and the Sadducees came to him and they were seeking from him a sign. And he answered and said unto them, "When it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather tomorrow because the sky is red. In the morning, if the sky is red, you say, it will be foul weather today. Oh, you hypocrites. You can discern the face of the sky, but you can't discern the signs of the times. You've learned to read from nature things that are coming. We get the leaves beginning to fall and a little nip in the air, a little color on the leaves. We say, well, you know, winter's approaching. We see the blossoms coming out and the leaves beginning to green out on the trees. And we say, well, it's springtime. And we've learned to read nature and the signs of nature. But Jesus said, you don't know the signs of my coming. He was actually rebuking them because there were many things that were transpiring that should have alerted them to the fact that the Messiah was there. So they're asking for a sign, and he said, they're all around you. You just aren't reading them. You can read the signs concerning the weather, but you don't know the signs of the times, the days in which you live. When Paul was writing to the church in Thessalonica, he said, "But of the times and the seasons, you have no need that I write to you, for you know perfectly well that the day of the Lord is coming as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction will come upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness that that day should overtake you as a thief." Yes, we know that Jesus is coming as a thief in the night. We don't know the day or the hour, but Paul said, you're not the children of darkness that day should catch you by surprise, that day should overtake you as a thief. When Jesus gave to his disciples the signs of his return in Luke 21, he said, "And when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh." Paul said, knowing the time. And as we see the conditions of the world in which we live, we realize that the time of the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ is near. He has given us so many signs of his return. There is no excuse for any Christian to be caught unaware or by surprise. Jesus said, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man." What was happening to the society in the times of Noah? We read in Genesis 6 that men were multiplying on the face of the earth, or there was a population explosion. We read that there was genetic engineering that was going on, and that genetic engineering was producing a race of giants. We read that the wickedness of man was great, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. We read that the earth was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Sound like anything you've been reading lately in the paper? Writing to Timothy, Paul said, "This know also, that in the last days," that is, the days before the return of Jesus, "perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, and lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. They will have a form of godliness, but they will deny the power thereof." Again, it would seem that Paul is describing men in the world today that surround us. Knowing the time, Paul said, what time is it? Paul said, it's high time to awake out of sleep. It would seem that the church, for the most part, is sleeping today. There doesn't seem to be an urgency about the things of the Lord. Oftentimes, we see a greater urgency towards worldly things than the things of the Lord. You talk about Jesus coming again very soon, and people look at you as though you've been dropping acid. Jesus gave a parable to his disciples that would relate to his coming again. It was a parable about 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise, and 5 of them were foolish. And he said, while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Now, Jesus is here recognizing that the church would be asleep. Paul recognized that. He said, it's high time to awake from our sleep. They all slumbered and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out to meet him. Then all of those virgins arose. They trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out. But the wise answered, not so, lest there's not enough for us and you, but go rather and buy some oil from those that sell. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterwards came the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Jesus then said, watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Jesus pictured the church as sleeping. Paul recognized that the church was asleep. High time to wake up from your sleep. Why should we wake up? Well, we've been sleeping long enough. The church has been asleep while the world around it has been going to hell. We slept through the removal of prayer from the public schools. We slept through the removal of the laws that protected us from the flood of pornographic materials. We slept through the opening of the doors to abortion on demand. We slept through the paganizing of America, the paganizing of our public school systems. In our lifetime, we see the schools promoting Halloween, which is a satanic festival, but at the same time, no longer calling it Christmas vacation, but the winter break. No longer calling it Easter vacation, but calling it the spring break. And we have watched the gradual paganizing of America. We've slept through it all. We should wake up because now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. At the end of each day, we can say, I am one day closer to the coming again of Jesus Christ than I was this morning. Our salvation is nearer than when we first believed, and much nearer than what any of us realize. Jesus is coming very soon to deliver his church from this present evil world. We should wake up because Paul said, the night is far spent and the day is at hand. The night of the reign of darkness over the world, thank God, is almost over. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. The day of the Lord, that glorious day when he establishes his kingdom upon the earth. They say that it is always the darkest before the dawn. I don't and can't think of any scientific reason for that. And thus I sort of challenge the statement. I question whether or not it is actually true. It could be that when you're watching through the night, the watch gets so long that it seems like it's getting darker and darker. And so it may be that there's some kind of a feeling or appearance that it is the darkest before the dawn. I do believe that we are in one of the darkest eras of man's history. Now, I realize from the study of history that man's minds have always been corrupt, polluted, that evil has existed. There's nothing new about evil. It's been around as long as man has been around. We read concerning Noah, the imagination of man's heart was only evil continually. I recognize that. And I recognize through every period of history, there has been evil present within the society of man. Sometimes worse than others, but it has always existed. But I do feel that though man has gone through some dark ages, that we are presently in the darkest period in the history of the world. In that, the evil is so convenient to get. It used to be that, yes, the evil was there, but it was behind the counter. It was hidden. It wasn't always easy to get hold of. There were laws against certain types of materials that would pollute and befoul a man's mind. But now it has become extremely available, no longer behind the counters, but boldly displayed, available through X-rated videos, available through the internet. And because of the accessibility of all of the filth, that it seems like we are being drowned in filth, the minds of man becoming so polluted because of the availability of evil today, the preponderance, and so easily available, that as in the days of Noah, the imagination of man's heart is becoming only evil continually. High time that we wake up. In light of all of this, what should I do? Paul, first of all, says we should cast off the works of darkness. If you have been caught up in pornography and have been polluting your mind through the internet or through videos or through these magazines, Paul said, let's cast off the works of darkness. If you have some filthy magazines at home, I encourage you, go home, destroy them. Get that filth out of your house. If you have any X-rated videos, don't give them to your friends. Get rid of them. Destroy them. Why pollute their minds too? And if you can't control yourself, then get some kind of a block on the internet where you can't receive that junk that is available, that only pollutes and befouls your mind. Cast off, Paul said, the works of darkness. Get rid of it. Paul, in the text, defines the works of darkness as partying, drinking, sexual immorality, debauchery, dissension, and jealousy. Get rid of this stuff. The partying, the drinking, the sexual immorality, the debauchery. Get rid of it. To the church in Corinth, Paul said, let us cleanse ourselves from all of the filthiness of the flesh. James wrote, "Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your minds." And oh, how we need to wash our hands from the filth of the world and to purify our minds. And then Paul tells us here, let us put on the armor of light. Cast off the works of darkness, replace them, put on the armor of light. Writing to the Ephesians, Paul described what the Christian armor was. He said, take the whole armor of God that you might be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And above all, taking the shield of faith, which wherewith you shall be able to quench all of the fiery darts of the wicked, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying with all prayers and supplication in the Spirit. Our defenses, the things that we're to put on, get rid of the filth, put on truth, righteousness, the gospel of peace, faith and salvation, and the word of God. And then Paul tells them here in Romans that they should walk honestly as in the day. Finally, Paul closes by saying, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for your flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You see, your life is going to be controlled either by your flesh or by your spirit. And there is a war for control between your flesh and your spirit. And if you open the door, even the slightest, to the flesh, you'll find it will come busting through and take over and seek to control you. Make no provision for the flesh. As Paul wrote to Timothy, flee youthful lust. Don't give any provision for it at all to fulfill the lust thereof. Your mind is going to be filled with thoughts of the flesh or thoughts of the spirit. Whatever you are planting into your mind, you're going to reap. If you're planting to the flesh of the flesh, Paul said, you will reap corruption. But if you will plant to the spirit, then of the spirit you will reap life and joy and peace. We live in a world, we can't escape that. A world that is polluted, we can't escape that. Billboards, advertisements, TV, if you channel surf, it's there. And you can't escape the fact that it does surround us. You can't go around with blinders. But what you can do is not hang there. If when you're surfing, there's something that comes up, you know. Hold it. No. Keep going. Flick it off as quick as you can. Don't give any place for this, because it can lodge and it can take root and it can begin to destroy. Make no provision for your flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Paul said, don't you realize whatever you sow, that you're also going to reap? It's just nature. It's just life. It's just the way God has created things. You reap what you sow. And if you sow to your flesh, then of your flesh you're going to reap corruption. Back in chapter 8, Paul told us that the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace and joy. Knowing the time, it's high time that we wake up from our sleep. The coming of the Lord is close. It's time that we put off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light, to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for our flesh to fulfill its desires. Time to devote ourselves to things that are eternal rather than things that will only pass away and leave you the worst for wear. Father, we pray that you will help us to wake up to what's happening to the world around us. But more important, that we wake up to what's happening to us. If we've been caught up in the things of the flesh, the things of the world, help us to wake up, Lord, to what it is doing, the harm that it has created, the destruction that it is bringing. And let us cast off the works of darkness, Lord, that we might put on the armor of light, that we might be able to stand in these evil days against the flood of wickedness, and that we, Lord, will stand in the strength of your Spirit, walking after the Spirit and in the glorious light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand? It's really rather tragic that Christmas time has become so commercialized that the chief emphasis seems to be on the material aspects of it. The presents that we will receive, the presents that we need to buy. And we can get so hassled and so harried by trying to get the right present and, you know, that whole thing, that we forget and we lose sight of God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And so I encourage you to fight and resist that temptation to just fall into the material aspects of the celebration, and that we truly think about God's love for us in sending his Son, giving that glorious gift of salvation to each of us. Let's not lose sight of that this Christmas season. But may the Spirit of God help us to focus on the true meaning of the coming of the Son of God into the world. May the Lord bless you, help you this week, and may he keep us focused on things that are eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord.